Second Chronicles chapter 5. And the Bible says this: thus all the work of Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver and the gold, and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark and the tabernacle to the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. These did the priests and the Levites bring up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto his place, to the oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. For the cherubims spread forth their wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. Verse 11, please. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, of Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I ask you tonight that you'd help me now in this place. We thank you for the good spirit that we've already felt in the service. Lord, we thank you that you've manifested your presence among us. But Lord, I pray tonight now that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, I thank you for each one that's come tonight and each one that's had a part of this meeting. Lord, I pray for the meeting tomorrow, God, that you'd bless it in a mighty way, even in this place. Now, God, I pray that you'd get honor and glory out of everything that's done here tonight. And Lord, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. In the story we've read tonight, we find the scene of the dedication of Solomon's temple. This is the house of God that David had desired to build, but God would not let David build the house of God because David had been a man of war. But God allowed Solomon, his son, to bring to pass the vision that David had in his heart. And of course, if you read in the Word of God, you read of the grandeur of this great house of God that Solomon had built. This didn't happen overnight. It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears that went into making this possible. Where they are here in this scripture, it started out on the mountain ranges of Syria when those Zidonians cut down the cedars of Lebanon and then they shipped them down to Jerusalem. I'm talking about a lot of work went into what they were doing right here. They have prepared. The people have been of one mind and one accord. They've been unified in their vision to build the house of worship. And now they've come to the place that they have now brought it to completion and they're assembling together. He's got them all dressed in their array. He is, matter of fact, the Bible said the people had sacrificed so much that the sacrifice could not be numbered. And the Bible said, here they are. And all of a sudden, Solomon tells him, said, go ahead and start striking up on the psalteries and the harp and the music. And the Bible said that they began to play the music and they began to sing a song. And they begin to worship him. And they begin to talk about how good God had done up there. In verse number 13, he said, "And praise the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." But then all of a sudden, when they begin to praise God, after their preparation, after their sacrifice, after their praises had went up, all of a sudden, a mysterious thing happens in the house of God. The Bible said the house was filled with a cloud. I'm talking about, that's pretty mysterious if you ask me. It got foggy in the church. You know what? You know what a cloud is? I mean, a fog is nothing more than a cloud that's touching the earth. And here in the house of God, it got so thick that the priests could not even stand to minister. In other words, God's presence came in such a way that man had to get out of the way. I like it when the presence of God fills the house of God. If you really want to say it in these terms, there was a change of atmosphere at the house of God. Boy, many times when I go into the services all over this country, even sometimes in the place where the Lord has allowed me to pastor, when I go in, the atmosphere is not exactly what I'd like for it to be. Matter of fact, a lot of times we go through the motions, we go through our routines, and the openly manifest presence of God isn't seen in our services like it ought to be. Some of you, and Brother Wishon, you've been in this thing a long time. You remember services in days gone by. No doubt you've been in where the cloud came. You've been in some places where the presence of God got so real and so thick that everybody left there knowing that they'd seen something very unusual at the house of God. Oh, would to God in this modern generation that is lost and dying without God. Oh, would to God that in this generation of church dwellers that come seemingly satisfied with the status quo, wouldn't it be great if we came to the house of God and said, God, would you change the atmosphere? God, would you send your presence? God, would you send the cloud in our midst? Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I sure do like going to church when the cloud shows up. There was a change in atmosphere. I was at the house one day. I was thinking about that very thought about changing the atmosphere. And I said, they did some things here. They prepared and they worked hard to build this house. You show me a church where the people have a mind to work, and I'll show you a place where the cloud will show up every now and then. I appreciate the changes. I've seen that God is using this preacher and his vision and the changes you've been working around here. I can tell that. I thank God for that. Because let me tell you something. You may just think, oh, we're just kind of updating the building a little bit. No, you're doing more than that. You're getting God's attention. You're doing more than that. God says, don't you look at there. They care about my house. They got a vision for something. And said, and let me tell you something. You're just liable to look around one Sunday and God send a cloud in here. And it changed lives and sinners will be saved. And the house of God will rejoice. Amen. I don't know about you, but praise God, that's what we need in these days. I began to think about that. They had prayed and they had prepared and they had sacrificed. They had done all that. And then they began to praise. And God said, I'm going to change the atmosphere. I got to thinking about something. God gave me an illustration. And I wanted to show you something. And talking about changing the atmosphere of the house of God. I got something here, if I can get it out of my bag tonight, that everybody here is going to be able to identify with. If you can see what I'm holding in my hand, I have it's a thermometer that you hang like you hang out on the porch post, you know, and matter of fact, this says right now that it's about 71 degrees in here. I'm glad the Lord's starting to let me preach this message in Baptist churches because I get to take my own thermometer with me. And that might save a man's life in some Baptist churches because it is so cold and the wind chill is such in some places, it'd be handy to have your own thermometer when you go to the house of God. But you see, I got this thermometer with me tonight, and I began to think about the atmosphere. You see, this thermometer here can tell me what the atmosphere is in here. Matter of fact, right now it tells me it's about 71, 72 degrees, best I can tell. This thermometer has diagnosed the atmosphere in here. It can tell me how it is. But do you realize this thermometer can't do one thing to change the atmosphere in here? It can tell me how it is, but it ain't going to do nothing to change it. I said we got a lot of thermometers sitting in pews across the Baptist church landscape in these days. They can tell you how the church is. They can tell you, oh, it's cold. Or, oh, I tell you, they're just a little bit dry. They can tell you how things are, but they ain't one of them doing nothing to try to change. I got some members like this in my church. They can tell me, preacher, the singing was a little too loud this morning. Preacher, air conditioning's up too high today. Some of them say, preacher, I was so hot, I was having to fan through the service. They can tell you all about everything that's going on. And Lord, I hope I ain't made nobody mad tonight. But they ain't doing nothing to try to change the atmosphere. I got thinking about that. I said there's a lot like this. There's something else. I went to the store, and I like it when God gives me messages just straight out of the Word of God. But sometimes, if you get desperate enough, you'll go to Home Depot to get a message. I had to go to Home Depot to get this message, and it cost me. You know, a lot of people say preachers are just in it for the money. Just in it for the money. This message cost me nearly $40. Cost me nearly $40. So I hope you give me a good love offering. I'm already $40 in the hole. And I had to feed this crowd coming down the road tonight. I'm going to have to steal gas to get back home tonight, praise God. No, I'm just joking you about all that. But I found something else. I said that thermometer, it can tell you what it is, but it can't do nothing to change it. But there was something there at the Home Depot that if you can see what I got in my hand, I noticed you got a couple of them on the walls in here. That first one is called a thermometer. It can tell you what the temperature is. Well, this one's called a thermostat. It can tell you what the temperature is too. But there's a difference between the two. One of them can tell you what it is, but he can't do anything to change it. But the thermostat, it can tell you how it is, and then it can go to working to try to change the atmosphere. I said, I don't know about you, but if I got to be one of them in the church today, let me be that thermostat that's hanging on the wall. You see, he works to change the atmosphere. I got to thinking about the aspects of these two. I said, there's the connection aspect of these. One of them's hooked up. The other one's just hanging around. That's the two crowds we got nowadays in our churches. One crowd's hooked up to the power. One crowd's hooked in there, and they ain't going nowhere. And that other crowd just hanging around. They'll hang around here a while, and then they go hang around somewhere else a while. Amen. Can I say to you, praise God, if you want to be a difference maker in your church, get hooked up to the power of God. Hey, let God have your life. Hallelujah. Don't just be one. Says, I know how it is. B1 says, yeah, I know how it is, and we got some needs, but by the grace of God, I'm going to hook in here. By the grace of God, I'm going to find my place. By the grace of God, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to shout, and I'm going to praise God, and I'm going to do my part to change the atmosphere at the house of God. You say, I wish we had I wish we had people in our church that praise the Lord. Then why don't you start? It starts with one. I wish, preacher, I wish some of our singing it just have a little more spirit in it. Well, get a little more in you, and when you get up there to sing, let it out. Amen. I remember when I first went to Dyson Grove, the church was small, about 30, 35 people. They wasn't even singing the choir when I went there. They only had about 10 people in their choir. And I said, we need to start singing the choir. And I got them up to sing, and I understood why they quit. It was depressing when they'd sing. It was really depressing. It really was. Y'all remember that old TV show, Hee Haw? You remember them fellas singing that song? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Whoa! That was our choir. That was pretty much our choir right there. I mean, if you wasn't depressed, come to church and you'd leave that way. Some of y'all life are like you've heard that choir, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all, I saw y'all sing up here tonight. Some of y'all can be in it, praise the Lord. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Despair and agony on me. But I got to working with them. I said, folks, listen. When you sing, they had them books just like this right here. Man, time out of their hands. And they're singing songs that they've been singing since they was 5 years old. And they act like they need the words to Amazing Grace. I said, you know what? You could probably sing that without that book because you know it by memory. And that'd free your hands up to wait. I feel it. And I said, in fact, if a tear starts running down your cheek and you just feel like shouting glory, I said, that'll be all right.
Amen.
And they listened to what I sang. And I looked. Got his hand lifted up, and man, they're singing. And next thing I know, another one. And the next Sunday came in, and I pretty soon the whole crowd's praising God while they're singing. And I thought, Lord, do I? We're Baptists. We don't support this thing now. And God said, no, you finally got them loose. Let them go. And God. Ever since. Now, if you can see the choir field, I'll tell you some of the best services we have when that choir gets in there to singing and the Holy Ghost power of God falls. I'm talking about changing the atmosphere. I'm talking about hooked up, praise God. Thank God for people that find their place in the choir. Thank God for people who find their instruments. Thank God for people who are faithful, hallelujah, to try to hook up the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, there's the connection aspect. And then there's this aspect of things. There's the contact. When you look at this thermostat, it's got some buttons. And you know what they're for? Pushing. Because when you go to pushing its buttons, things start changing. I like them saints of God in the pews that can still feel the touch of God on their heart. When He goes to pushing the buttons of their heart and they go to responding to what He wants them to do. Amen. Now you can push on one of these all day long and it ain't going to do nothing. There are some church folk like that. God, a long time ago, quit trying to push their buttons because they ain't going to do nothing no way. So He's left them alone. He said, I'll find somebody with buttons I can push. I remember I was just a young preacher. I was a pastor. How many people get happy? Praise God. One crowd looked like it was happy to do that. The other crowd looked like the brother-in-law moved in with them. Somebody shot their dog and they got away. And I said, if I got to be in one of them crowds, if I'm going to church, I want to be in that crowd That crowd that's waving handkerchiefs and slinging snot and shouting and running and having. I said, that crowd's getting their money's worth. Yeah. I don't want to be in that sour looking crowd. And I got to pray. I said, God, if you'll fill me up, I'll shout. If you'll fill me up, Lord, I ain't never done it. But if you'll fill me up, I'll shout. Boy, I tell you what, you better be careful what you fill me up. I'll never forget, I was sitting right on the front row in the middle section. Old boy sitting right next to me, and the choir was up a singing that night. And boy, it got to getting good. Some of them little granny women in the choir got to waving handkerchiefs while they was a singing. I'm talking about them that's real. They got to lifting up Jesus, and man, the presence of God started coming in the building. I could feel it in me. I said, oh, this is it. You're going to let me worship. You're going to let me shout. You're going to let me in on it, Lord. And about the I'm filled up to the brim. Just shouted all over the place. I sat there and I quenched it. I said, I can't do that. I said, Lord, they'll think I've lost my mind. And when I said that, about that time, the coldest feeling came over me. I didn't feel that fullness anymore. And about that time, the old boy sitting right next to me threw both hands up in the air and started screaming like he was on a roller coaster at Carowinds. I'm talking about make the hair stand up on the back of your head. He is plugged in. He's shouting it out, and I'm sitting there as cold as I can. I said, God, give my blessing to somebody else. Why couldn't you send it halfway across the church? Maybe on this side. Why'd you have to dump it on the feller right next to me? He said, cause I found the closest one to you I could find. If you wouldn't do it, I found somebody who will. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to be the one when he goes to pushing my buttons. I don't want somebody else leaving with my blessing. Praise God. I want to get in on it. I want to enjoy the things of God. Hallelujah. To his name. There's the contact issue. There's the connection hooked up. I got thinking about this. Then there's the commitment aspect of these. What do you mean by that, preacher? See these buttons here? When you push them, what that means is you're putting something into this. You're programming it. You're putting something in there. And what you put in there, then you expect it to do it. That's exactly what you do, Sunday. He gets up here and he puts the word of God into your heart, your life. And then if you're the right kind of vessel, when you leave here, you'll go out. You can't program one of these. It'd be like water running off a duck's back. You can't put nothing into it because it ain't going to do it. But if you put something into it, it'll perform it. I believe that's what the word told us to be. He said, not to be hearers of the word, but doers. He said, when you get it in you, go out and do what you know to do. Amen. Can I say to you, I go all over this country and preachers wearing themselves out all over this country trying to get a bunch of thermometers. Because that's what I'll tell you how it is, but I ain't going to. Thank God for them sitting in the pews.
Yes, sir.
They'll say, preacher, give me what the book says. Preacher, help life according to God's will. Preacher, I don't want to be that Christian that just kind of looks on. Preacher, I want to be one that, you know, this thing about this, if you put something in it, it'll do it when you ain't even around. I like that. I like Christians that go about serving the Lord when the preacher ain't. Every church member can serve the Lord and talk about the Lord when the preacher's around. You'd be amazing how spiritual some people get when the preacher comes around. Amen. Oh, yes. Hey, this ain't my first rodeo, friend. I'm from the hills of Tennessee, but they just like that in Mountain City, and I know they just like that down here in North Carolina, too. Amen. Some people get real spiritual. They'll start throwing around words like reverend. Reverend. Yeah. But the fact of the matter is, I like when people in them. They just quietly go. This is what I like about this right here. You put something in this, it'll go about doing it even when everybody else in the house is asleep. You say, but preacher, we can't get nobody excited about nothing. Don't worry about them. You just go about doing what God's put in you, even while they're asleep. Praise the Lord. Amen. I got a message I'm going to preach at the church in the morning titled, On When Good People Fall Asleep. When good people fall asleep. There was five wise virgins. That's a compliment. When somebody calls you wise, when the Holy Ghost calls you wise, you were the right time. They had lamps, but they also had vessels with them with extra oil. But they were like the five foolish as well. They all slumbered and slept. Sometimes good people fall asleep in the service of God. Amen. Now, none of y'all lay out and come up to my church tomorrow to hear that, okay? You'll be right here. It won't be that good. But anyway, I'm talking about the commitment. You say, preacher, what is it about this? I think about the contact. I think about the connection. Think about the commitment. And then I think about this. There's the conversation. Sometimes I'm at my house. I'll be sitting there in my chair. What time I get to stay at the house. And I'll be sitting there. I won't have nothing on the house. Just be quiet. Just be sitting there resting my eyes a little bit. But it'll start getting a little cool maybe. And I'll hear a clicking noise over on the wall. When I hear that little faint noise, all of a sudden, atmosphere starts changing. In other words, it's starting to get a little cold, and this old boy kicks in. This preacher needs some people in this place, and when it starts getting a little cold, they'll kick in. They'll help him. They'll encourage him. I've had some of them little things. I used to have a deacon. He's in heaven now. Brother Jim passed. Brother Jim was one of the quiet little men. He wouldn't shout out loud. He couldn't. He'd get so full. He couldn't have vocally done anything. He would get so full. And Brittany's grinning because she knows what I'm talking about. You would look at him. He looked like he was ready to bust. And tears would be streaming down both cheeks. And he'd just grip his hands and just stand there trembling because that was his way of shouting. And he was an encourager because a lot of times, just about every time I'd give an invitation, that little old deacon would be on the altar. And he didn't always have a need. But a lot of times he'd come to encourage his preacher after his preacher had preached. I don't know about you, but I won't be one of them that kicks in. When the going gets tough, kick in and help your church. When the going, don't just talk about it and don't just say, well, it ought to be this way and it used to be that way. And don't just go that route, but say, by the grace of God, I can't do much, but I'm going to kick in, preacher. I'm hooking in here. I'm going to help you. I'm going to try to encourage you. I'm going to stand with you. Hallelujah. Thank God. I don't know about you, but I want to be one who helps change the atmosphere.
Yes,
man. The house of God. I don't know about you tonight. If I had to ask you, and I guess you'll have to decide now since I've brought them, which one you are. I'm not making you do that, but since I've got them here, you can just kind of figure it out in your head. Which one am I? Are you one that God can touch and it moves you to be a blessing? Are you just one that just says, well, I'm just here, preacher? Sometimes the devil will convince you that that's all you're supposed to be, is just here. Now, we're glad you're here. Thank God you're here. But God has so much more for you than just being here. He wants you to leave here. When you leave here, said, praise God, I can't wait to get back Wednesday night. He wants you when you're on your job on Monday thinking, man, I can't hardly wait. Church nights are coming up. He wants you that this place would be the highlight of your week when you walk through the doors of the house of God. Because when you come here, the cloud shows up and the presence of God is in our midst. And we leave refreshed and we leave revived and we leave strengthened. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we need in these days. I don't know about you, but I want to be one that God can use to change the atmosphere. Let's bow our heads tonight.